And alcohol is especially dangerous for people like myself, alcoholics. Or you can say ethanol challenged, whatever you want to call it. And people are going to, Robin, how do I know if I'm an alcoholic? Well, as one, let me give you some warning signs. Number one, after a night of heavy drinking, you wake up fully clothed going, hey, somebody's shitting my pants. Number two, you have a couple of cocktails, you find yourself on the freeway going, what are these fuckers doing going the wrong way? Number two. Number three, you get drunk, you go out for Indian food, you wake up in Bombay with a camel licking your balls. Ta-da! You are an alcoholic. And some people say, Robin, I'm a functioning alcoholic. Which is, you can be one. It's like being a paraplegic lap dancer. You can do it. Just not as well as the others, really.
All right, predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, and you just heard the legend, rest in peace, Robin Williams, and his whole bit about alcoholism. Again, man, just probably the most well-known Bay Area comedian of all time. It's got to be Robin Williams. I'm thinking off the top of my head, who would surpass that? And I don't know. I mean, I love me some Larry Bubbles Brown, but I don't think he's there. You guys heard him on the last episode. In fact, Robin Williams was a big fan of Larry Bubbles Brown as well. But no, it's got to be Robin Williams. And the reason I chose that clip was, A, to honor, again, a San Francisco comic and a legend, but also because this is the alcohol show. This is predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. And I'm here drinking beer with my co-host, Matt Somerville. And we decided that we wanted to tell some just alcohol-infused, alcohol-related stories on this episode. We thought it'd be kind of fun. So how you doing, Matt? Are you over there?
I have 4 clocks in my kitchen, and all of them are they're all wrong. They're all inaccurate. I just realized that now.
Okay, so you're listening to Predictably Clocks with Matt Somerville.
I feel like I was drunk when I situated these clocks. 4 fucking clocks, and none of the, like, statistically, that's, there's only 12 hours here on the clock that I'm currently looking at, and four clocks, none of them. It's not good numbers.
Are they within like a minute of each other? I mean, are they're just all over the place.
Well, one suffers from laziness per daylight savings time, you know. Okay. It happens. You know, you go back an hour, forward an hour, and you're like, ah, fuck it. I'll just know to look at that clock and add or subtract an hour every time I look at it, and which is extreme laziness.
Yeah, but it's also, it's laziness, but it's also more work at the same time, because you have to do math.
Right, I know. And that compounds, man. Days and days and days after daylight savings time, you have to do way more math than you could have saved yourself if you had just changed the fucking thing.
So we've got a user laziness and daylight savings time. I'm sure I have one of those running around. What's with the other three?
One is a kitty cat clock. It looks like you know, the Felix the cat. It looks like that. It's a black cat. It has the ticking tail.
Do the eyes go back and forth, left and
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay.
That's an annoying. That's an annoying clock.
But it's so charming that after we broke it, we decided to keep it up on the wall.
So it's a clock. It's a clock that doesn't do the one job it's supposed to do.
It will only ever be doing its job for 1 minute a day,
and then it just stops.
Well, no, it's just stuck on that same.
Oh, it's okay. So even a broken watch is right 2 times a day, or in this case, a clock. So okay,
yeah.
So that one doesn't move. We have one that's an hour probably ahead at this point because we are. We've scaled them back because this is in the winter time. I've been drinking. I'm a little slurred.
Okay.
And then you have a clock that doesn't work. It's stationary.
And then the other two basically are set to the time. I guess safe to say whenever I plugged in the microwave and stove, that's what time it was. That's not true. No, it was just 12 o'clock because they always default to 12 o'clock. When you plug in a microwave or an oven, 12 o'clock. No, I assure you, it was not 12 o'clock when I plugged them in because they are wrong right now, and I just never changed it.
So you plugged it in whenever you did; it just defaults to 12 o'clock. It could have been 4 o'clock, and you're just 4 hours off. So you if you were in your kitchen and an emergency happened, and somebody said, you know, well, what time is it right now? We would be fucked. Like
everyone would die. Yeah, the button would be pressed, the bomb would go off, and the world would melt. I'm late to everything. I refuse to change them.
You were actually late to this recording today, by the way, too. So there is some truth to that. Although you did do what a lot of people won't do when they're late because they're too much of pussies. But you contacted me and said I'm going to be a little bit late, which I respected. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's the best way. Being an honorable scumbag, you let people know about it. You say, hey, I'm a piece of shit, and they say, hey, you know what? Thanks for admitting that.
That really is the American way, to be honest with you. I mean, I think if you look at politics, you look at sports, you look at just about any public figure, America loves to build somebody up, have them have their downfall, tear them down, whatever the case may be, and then allow that person to admit to not being perfect and then build themselves back up again. That is absolutely the American way.
I agree. And,
yeah, so we've admitted now that we know what your downfall is, so now we just have to bring you back up from your tardiness, sir.
I was watching a video the other day online, and it was this horrible thing. I'm laughing now because it was so fucking
funny. It sounds
funny,
so awful. Yes, you're laughing your ass off.
Well, it was bad, but I laugh at horrible things. So this guy
you laughed at my comedy. That hurts my feelings.
Burn. This guy was driving his car, and this motorcycle, it was like a country road, and this motorcycle decided he wanted to pass the car. And it was just it's a one-lane situation, one lane going both ways. And this guy goes to pass the car in front of him. The car in front of him is like, fuck that. And he swerves his car out, bumps the biker off the road. The guy crashes, and the dude just drives off. And I laughed so hard. And the whole video was a news report saying that this guy is being indicted for doing that. And they interviewed the guy, and I wanted so badly for this old man to just admit to it, to just say, yeah, fuck that guy, I didn't want him to pass me. But he didn't, of course. He tried to fucking lie his way out of it. He, despite the fact that there was clear video evidence of this happening, he's like, no, I was I didn't see him. Or and I'm like, fuck you, man, you know what you did. You know what you did.
Did he get like older than he actually was? Like all of a sudden he's like, oh, I can't see. And
I don't recall that incident. Yeah, yeah. It's absolute horseshit. That guy totally knew what he was doing.
In the meantime, he did what every person who's ever not driven a motorcycle but been sitting in traffic in a regular car has ever done when they see the motorcycle pass them on the, you know, in the lane where they're like, I'm just going to open the fucking door and make this guy crash. Oh,
yeah. I want a 48 hours that guy, like Eddie Murphy style. Yeah.
Yeah, like we've all said that. We've all said we're just going to swerve into that guy. And then we don't do it because we're like normal, rational, sane human beings. Yeah. This guy was just like Michael Douglas and falling down. Was like, fuck it. I'm done. This is it. I've had a good life, but you know what? It's not going to be good going forward, so I'm just going to hit this maniac and
I'm gonna freak out about Egg McMuffins and fucking Uzi this ceiling. Yeah. And I wanted him to own it so much, because when you watch that video, you hate this guy. You're like, oh, what a piece of shit. And then they interview him and he lies, just this awful scumbag, and you fucking hate him more. But I swear, if I was watching that video and they got to his interview and he was like, yeah, no, fuck that. That guy was like, oh, I was too slow for him? Fuck that shit. I fucking took care of him. You know, like, I would have loved him. I would have totally changed my opinion about the guy. At least he could own that situation.
Yep. Well, speaking of owning things, I think you and I are, we're going to be in confession here for the rest of this program. This is the Alcohol Story Show. And I don't think either one of us have ever swerved into traffic and hit somebody off of their motorcycle, but we've definitely had our fair share of drinking times and been around people that have drank too much and lived to tell about it. So we thought it'd be kind of fun since we're drinking. And basically, when Matt and I get together, or I get together with any of my friends, and I'm sure you're the same way with some of your friends, is that we just get together and we remember the stupidity and the dumbassery that we have when we drink too much and get ourselves into situations that are just, white boy stupid, I think is the best way to call it.
Yeah. And we also create new situations that we can later reminisce about.
This is true. So, you know, in the spirit of this show, and this show being predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, I think this is very much the show that's going to define that tagline. So I just asked Matt, I said, hey, you know what? instead of talking about it off the air, why don't we talk about this on the air for this episode? We'll have a good time. We'll kind of show our ass a little bit about some of the dumbass things that we did, and then just make fun of it. So, I guess I'll start. Since it's my show, I can make that rule, correct?
You can do that, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell a story about what happened here. This is about a year ago, and I was down in San Luis Obispo. Now, if you've never been to San Luis Obispo, it is a college town. It is 100% downtown. You go on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and you're going to run into anywhere from 19 to 23-year-olds everywhere, okay? So I go down there, and I'm sitting at a bar with a few buddies, and I'm not 19 to 23, by the way. I'm in my 30s. And so we go to the bar like early, you know, like we're there at 6 o'clock, 7:30.
Yeah.
And there's like, I don't know, fucking the Eagles are playing on the jukebox. Rest in peace, Glenn Frey.
Fuck the Eagles.
Yeah, fuck the Eagles. I agree. But the Eagles are playing. It's just like low key music. We're having a couple beers. There's a little bit of chatter around us. It's like a nice atmosphere. It's like what you want a bar to be when you get to my age and your age, right? Is that you just want a little bit of activity, but you can still talk to your friends and have, you know, a conversation, intelligent or otherwise. Well, at some point in the night at this bar, I blinked. I made the mistake of blinking. And I looked up, and like 8,500 of the same stupid girl came into this bar.
Oh, God.
All wearing the same cocktail dress, but in a different color. I'm in like ratty ass jeans and a t-shirt that says "Who farted" or something like that. Like, like I'm in old man gear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm just drinking beer in the corner, just kind of minding my own business. And you look around, and they're attractive girls. Okay, they're attractive females.
Of course.
They're all in college. They're all going to be fucking structural engineers one day or whatever the hell they're going to be. But they're all out that night, and they're looking to just get fucked up. And like, when you're 21 years old, and you're 21 years old, ladies and gentlemen, and you, if you can remember that, you're out at that age to get fucked up. Like, there's just nothing else about it that you're trying to do other than, I want to get drunk, and I want to get hungover, and I want to just wake up the next day and not even have the hangover affect me at all.
Want to make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. So I immediately realized that, you know what, I'm not supposed to be at this bar anymore. So I go to leave, and this lady, she's 21, at least I think she's 21, is on the bar in like a pink cocktail dress, kind of like upside down, taking a shot of what they call bull sweat at this place in San Luis Obispo.
It's gross.
So they take, yeah. So what they do is people spill drinks at bars, if you're not aware of this, Matt. And what they do is the bartenders will take a rag and they'll clean up the spilled drinks, right?
Oh, come on.
You know where we're going with this. So it could be beer, it could be water, it could be gin and tonic, it could be Jack and Coke, it could be a shot of Jameson, it could be Fireball, it could be wine. All the shit that gets wiped up off the bar, they then take that rag of disgustingness and they squeeze it into a shot glass and they give it to whoever is asking for it.
God damn it.
It's called the bull sweat at this particular location. So it's a tradition at this place, apparently. And I'm like, you know what? That's even gross for me, but I'm going to watch this happen. Like, I'm too old to do this myself, but I'm going to watch it happen. So I snapped a photo of this, you know, pretty 21-year-old lady doing the most disgusting thing she could possibly do at that bar, at least at that time. And I snapped a photo of it and I left. Now I'm still with my friends later in the night. We've been drinking. I'm to the point where I'm like, I'm fucked up. My friends are fucked up. And out of nowhere, this other young lady runs up to me and she's like, oh my God, you have to help me. I think she thought I was somebody's dad. Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, professor, whoever, if you could help me since you're out with the kids tonight.
Yeah. Grab the minivan.
Yeah. She's like, you need to help me. My friend's about to get rolled and she doesn't have her ID. And I said, whoa, 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 slow down. I don't know what any of that means. Try English.
Yeah.
And apparently what I found out is getting rolled means the cops
police?
Are going to, yes, you're on it. So the police were going to arrest her because she didn't have her ID. And it turns out she's 20 years old. This girl, this friend's girl, you know, whatever. This right. girl's friend who happens yes. to be a girl. And I'm like, okay, well, can you describe her? And she's like, well, she's wearing a cocktail dress. And I'm like, that's all of you.
Everyone.
You described you. Are you okay? Do you have your ID?
She has hair and boobs.
More or less what she said. And then out of nowhere, she goes, well, she's wearing a pink cocktail dress. And I'm like, random shot here. I pull out my phone and I show the picture of the girl who, by the way, in the photo, like her ass is hanging out, like little G-string thong, whatever. Taking a shot of the bull sweat. She goes, oh my God, that's my friend. And I go, well, she's down at that bar over there. you know, doing disgusting things. And then she gives me a hug and runs off. And I felt like a hero until my friend was like, that girl didn't even question the fact that there's a girl in your, you just took a picture of this. Like, this girl didn't even care, right? So I'm like, all right, well, I'm feeling good about myself. Let's go have a couple more drinks, which is never a good idea.
No.
So me and my buddy, we go have a couple more drinks. We take a cab back to the, he goes home, I think, because he lives down there. And I went to my hotel room. And I think it's super late. It's probably like 10:30 at this point. I get up at like 2 a.m. and I have to puke. I know I'm going to throw up. I can just feel it. Like the whole thing in my stomach's like, you dumbass. Like, why did you stop at that last bar and do anything?
Yeah.
So I get up and I can feel it coming. So I'm kind of like running and I'm in a 2-bedroom suite at this hotel because I'm a champion and that's what I am allowed to get. Yeah. And I'm running and out of nowhere, I look up and I see a naked white guy running towards me in my room.
No.
And I don't understand what's going on. And out of nowhere, the naked white guy throws up on me. And then I realized that it's myself in the reflection of a full-sized mirror because the door was closed that I was running towards. So I threw up on myself and then laughed hysterically, probably farted because I was like realizing what had happened.
Yeah.
And then I slipped on the puke that had fallen off of the mirror, fell, hit my head, cracked my head open, and was bleeding. So now I am laying naked on the floor with puke from myself that I threw up on myself and blood from my head kind of leaking into everything.
That story escalated.
Yeah. So then the next day I show up and I've got like, you know, a big ass welt on my head and I smell disgusting. And my friend's like, what the hell happened to you? And I tell him the story and he goes, I don't believe you. So I pulled out my phone because my phone has saved me twice this night and said, well, here's a picture of me laying naked on the floor in vomit and blood. And I took this just for the sole fact that you aren't going to believe me about this story. And he's like, holy crap, that's, you're a maniac. You're worse than that girl who drank the weird, you know, bull sweat stuff.
No, so that was worse than that. That's not true. That's
awful. It wasn't my proudest moment, but it was definitely a story about drinking too much. So I'm going to start with that one. What say you?
That's all my drinking stories are horrible and depressing. I'm like trying to fight people that I love and waking up in weird places. Let me think. I mean, there's one where nothing really huge happened, but it was for my bachelor party. You were there. We were in Vegas.
I don't recall.
You don't recall. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know if he's just saying that because he doesn't want to recall or admit to recalling, or if he actually does not recall.
We went to Vegas for Matt's bachelor party and I went 2 days before the bachelor party.
Oh shit. Right. You were there early.
And I was like, oh, this will be great because I'm in Vegas 2 days to myself before all the guys get here. And by the time the bachelor party was hitting its kind of like apex, I was pretty much on the way out. So depending on what happens with the story, it's very plausible that I don't remember it. And I might not have even been there.
Well, you were at New York, New York. The last thing I remember, you were at New York, New York with me. And we were hanging out, like we had all kind of split apart. We went to a club that didn't work out. We went to like the that was a ridiculous thing. The Dropbox party that we tried to sneak into and we did sneak into, half of us did.
No, we all snuck, like 3 of your people didn't get in. The rest of us, there's like this huge party at this club and a friend of mine was working inside and she was supposed to put us on this list. And then apparently there was no list. And then somebody, I don't even remember who, got the bright idea and was like, we're in this big ass casino with a club attached to it in Vegas. And they looked and saw that there was like a Chinese restaurant right next to it and literally just walked into the Chinese restaurant and then walked out the door on the other side, which was like for employees only. And then we just walked around and all of a sudden we're in the backside of this club.
Yeah.
That was a private party for, I think you're right. I think it was actually Facebook because all the pillows had the big thumbs up, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I had heard Dropbox, but I had already been drinking at that point. But yeah, I mean, there is a line into this club, like 60 to 70 people deep.
Yeah.
And we just found the side door and we just walked right in.
It was like 20 to 30 people or dollars a person to get in. And we just walked in for free because they literally just left a side door open. And somebody along a line on our party was like, well, this is stupid. I'm just going to walk through that door. And we're like, I don't think you can do that. And then they did.
We did it.
And then we did it. So yeah, that was the, okay. So I do remember that. I was there for that.
So after that, I mean, because this party was pretty exclusive. And so their tables were like fucking high stakes. I mean, they had
poker tables at the club. Private party, and their limits were outrageous in terms of what you had to buy in and everything else. Absolutely.
This was literally a streamlined process because it was a courtyard, and we entered sort of on the side. We walked through. We tried to walk back, got denied. We were told that that was a wristband-only area despite the fact that we had just fucking walked out of that area.
Yeah, we were trying to sneak out of the party, and they wouldn't let us leave. Yeah, that was the weird part.
And they're like, you have to go through the club. Which was goddamn, oh, that was sardines in a can, man. That was a nightmare. But so we're walking through. We see tables. Chris, my best man, he stops at a table, loses $200 in like 3 minutes. Yeah. we just keep walking. We're like, everything here is too expensive for us, or us poor white people. We shoulder butt our way through that club, which I believe their bottle service was something in the tune of like, it was like $1,000 for a bottle of Crown Royale or something. It was something ridiculous.
It was awful. I bought three shots or six shots at the bar where my friend was bartending. And I believe my bill was well over $150.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just too much. So we exited there. And then after that, we all kind of went different ways. Sam and I ended up at New York, and some other people met us there. Who that was, oh, I'm pretty fuzzy. That's where we started to get fucking blackout drunk. But apparently, I was greeting anyone, because we were all staying on the same floor. I was greeting everyone on the floor, on the non-smoking floor, smoking a cigarette in my boxers. And they weren't
now,
people
well, hold
that
on,
were
wait
in
a
our
minute.
Party.
Wait a minute, time out. You're talking about that? No, you're talking about when you went back to the suite.
Yeah.
And that was not at New York. That was at
Well, I'm skipping over that part cuz I don't remember it.
Okay, but I left, so I was not there cuz I left from New York and went and partied elsewhere, and you went back to the room,
yes.
Back to your suite. So this is new information for me. I don't know anything about this story.
Yeah, so I don't remember how it happened. I don't remember doing it, really. There's brief flashes of doing it, but there's this like little round couch outside of the elevator, and then the hallways split off into I think it's three hallways per floor. Our room was right there next to the elevator. Apparently I went in there, stripped down, and then decided I wanted to be social. And me lounging on a lounge sofa in only boxers is nothing that anyone ever wants to see. But people seem pretty happy to see me. That's what I was told. And this is also not new.
The night before you got married, we shared a hotel room, and at some point you were completely in your boxers drinking and smoking a cigarette. So this is normal behavior for you, by the
way. That's what I like to do, I guess. I feel free, fuck pants, you know,
I'm not going to slam you for that. I mean, there's some truth to that.
Yeah. Why pants? I was told about it the next day. And, of course we went out again. We went and had dinner at the big spinning Space Needle restaurant. Went out after that and got drunk again. And I was conscious for this one, but I was like, why the fuck am I walking down the hall again in my boxers drinking? Like it happened again. And I didn't even realize it happened again until I was like, shit, I'm doing this again. But I mean, that's, you know, that's not a good story. That's just stuff I do when I'm drunk. I'll tell you a story. It was a story of time travel. I went to a friend's house. We were all drinking. There was maybe about 10 of us, and we were throwing them back. And you never know when that moment is, but I hit that moment and I was a goner. And it's the other thing that happens when you're really drunk. Everything is so hot. You just feel hot all the time.
Explains why you take your clothes off every single time.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, we're onto something here. That was happening. And another thing that happens when I'm really, 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 really drunk is that I just get to a point where I'm like, I gotta fucking lay down. I can't do this whole standing up thing anymore. I can't do this whole existing thing anymore. Like this upright existence.
You turn into a 3-year-old that hasn't had a nap, essentially.
Yeah. 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 And I'm hot as shit. And, so I go to the side of the house. I think I'm feigning like I'm going to take a piss. Like people are like, well, where are you going? I'm like, I was going to take a piss to the side of the house. They're like, oh, that's normal. Okay. Skip the bathroom. And so I go over there and instead of taking a piss, I lay down, on the little sidewalk that's on the side of the house. And the pavement is so cold. Oh my God. It felt so fucking nice. And I just laid there and I was probably down there for a good 20 minutes. When someone came by and they're like, hey man, I almost pissed on your face. Did you need help? Are you okay? And I was like, oh yeah, and I'm great. Like this is the best time of the night. This right here is the best time I've ever had all night. And they're like, all right, well, I'm still going to pee over here. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine, man.
Still going to piss on your face.
Let her rip. And they pissed and they fucked off. And of course they went back to tell the group, I'm assuming, that I was passed. I wasn't even passed out. This wasn't me passing out. This was just me enjoying the coolness of the pavement. And, the guy who lived there, he comes over and he's like, buddy, you don't look good. And I'm like, no, I am good. I assure you. And he's like, okay, well, can you get up? And I'm like, I'd rather not. And, and he's like, well, I'm going to pick you up. Cause I don't want to forget you out here. And I don't want you to get sick or whatever. He was a big guy. He was a big guy. So he was able to pick me up, throw me over his shoulder.
I think I know who this is now that you've described that, but keep going.
It's not who you think it is.
Okay.
But that is a good guess. And at this point, like I think once he throws me over the shoulder, I think I'm done. I don't remember anything past that, right? So
if you guys don't know Matt, you're what? Almost 6'2".
Uh-huh.
And you're probably 230 pounds.
That's insulting, but in the neighborhood.
Are you less than that?
Definitely less than that. Yeah.
Are you really? Oh my God! That's
apparently nice. I look more than that.
I thought I was being conservative with the 230. So just to get some reference as to him calling somebody else a big guy. Yeah, I mean, there's somebody larger than him. Apparently, King Kong came through. And
King Kong. Well, I think I was about 200. This was a while back, so I was probably about 200 for this story. And so the thing is that we had started drinking before nightfall. And so this was
a good idea.
Early night. No. And this was an early night. You know, when I passed out, it was very early in the night. So I wake up to realize that I've been placed on the couch in the living room and I look around and it's dark and there's no one around. It's completely silent. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like it was just such a what the fuck moment. And I'm like, where is everybody? You know, cause I didn't feel like I just slept for a very long time at all. And I'm kind of looking around and I see like the last light of the day kind of fading away outside. And, I'm like, did they all go out? Like, they had to have left me here if I was passed out, I guess, but like, what the shit? Right. And I look down and I have to find my phone. It's like under something. And I finally find it. And I look at the clock and it's like 6:30. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense of time traveled. And I start having to like look through the house because three or four people lived there at the time, and they were nowhere to be seen, but all of their cars were outside. And I wander into my buddy's room just to see if maybe he stayed behind or something, and he's in bed. And I'm like, why the fuck is he in bed? What just happened? Like, we were just outside all drinking and having a good time. And I wake him up. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, it's 6:30 a.m. You were asleep for like 12 hours. go home.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I was convinced that I was asleep for like 20 minutes or something. And that I woke up in this weird fucking paradoxical time space. I don't know, man.
It turns out you just got blackout drunk. Kind of an alcoholic. Good for you.
Yay. So, okay. That was more like a story. While That's I was telling that story, I thought of two more, which I can tell very quickly after yours, of course.
I think what we do, hang on to those stories.
Yes.
We've got a lot of podcasts to do, my friend. So why don't we put a bookmark in the Drunk Matt book, if you will, and we'll share those at a later time. We could do this again. I mean, we can have another drunk story session down the road.
Drunk and, I like that. That's a good idea. I didn't realize that story just took 20 minutes to tell.
No, it was a good story. You had me cracking up, actually. That was good. Very well done. But no, that's what we'll do. We'll hang on to those. I've got plenty in my back pocket as well. So we'll just compare notes again down the road. I think that's probably the best way to do it. But this is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. You can find me on Twitter at Tiger Clomedy. You can find Matt on Twitter at Tiger Clomedy. you can find the show on Instagram. It's just Predictably Drunk. You can find us on Facebook at Predictably Drunk and predictablydrunk.com, sammarcoux.com. You can find all my tour dates there. In fact, February 26th, that's a Friday, I'm going to be making my Tucson, Arizona debut.
Oh, shit.
At Laughs Comedy Cafe, along with Kabir Kabizi Singh. And, well, that's all I know. There's probably going to be a local comic there, too, but I don't know who that's going to be. I'm sure they'll be funny or at least present. And then March is going to be nuts, dude. I don't know how I'm going to get through March. I have I said yes to a lot of things. And unbeknownst to me, since I didn't put them in my calendar right away, I started filling out my comedy calendar. And there's a lot of yeses on the same day. So I got to make some decisions here, but I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale on March 9th. I will be at the Rail Club. I'm hosting that. That's a new Rome. I was asked to host that thing. The Rail Club, I believe that's in San Mateo on March 2nd. I'll be in Reno, Nevada at the Pioneer Underground at the end of March. I'll get you the exact dates on that. I'm negotiating that right now. And I'm supposed to be in San Luis Obispo. I told a drunk story about San Luis Obispo. I might be down there March 3rd through March 6th for the San Luis Comedy Festival. So a lot of things coming up in March, February. There's a few things. I think I'm going to stay local for February. I've been on the road a lot.
I really enjoyed how you just went to San Diego and never stopped by L.A. on your way down or up.
I actually did stop in L.A., and I'll tell you just two real quick things. On my way down, I took the coast. I took the Highway 1 coastal trip all the way down, which was awesome. Great. It's great, and also the biggest mistake of my life because it took forever.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of exotic meat on my way down there. I went down there with Stephen Curry, the medical expert of Predictably Drunk, and we ate kangaroo jerky. Ooh. We ate maple duck jerky. We ate. I think there was a hippo in there.
Jesus, that's got to be all fat.
We had a Somali baby jerky. That was good.
That was a baby that you ate.
It was a baby. Nobody wanted it, so they made it into jerky, and then everybody wanted it. It was fantastic. Cool. And then we went to a place called Crazy Burger in San Diego. They're not paying me for this. Go to Crazy Burger. They have gator. They have camel. I had camel for the first time in my life. Really? They have all kinds of exotic meat that you can just go there and eat and feel like a Republican. It was great. Yeah, cool. And then we went and saw Tool and Primus. And they were playing together. And at one point, I thought I'd eaten too many exotic meats because Les Claypool from Primus came out on stage in a pig mask and was playing the bass and freaked me out. And I was completely sober and I felt like I was not sober. And I was like, I have to leave here. I felt like I was on like mushrooms or something. It was weird. But it was a great time. We had a great time. But I did stop in LA on the way down there. And then I came back on Sunday and traffic still kind of sucked. It wasn't terribly bad, but I was trying to stop and get a nice brunch somewhere in Orange County. And apparently they're all very popular. So I stopped at a Bobo's, which is a drive-through breakfast joint in Anaheim, California, and had myself a Bobo burrito with Bobo meat. And I don't know what the fuck meat is.
That's that kind of clown. That's what that is.
Oh my God, it was delicious. I would eat that clown in a heartbeat. So we did technically stop. I did not stop in Burbank to hang out with you. My bad.
All right.
But, well, shit, man, this is a good episode. A lot of fun. We just told some drunken stories here on Predictably Drunk. Smart people talking about stupid things. SamMarcoux.com, PredictablyDrunk.com. Go there. Check out all the episodes. You can actually find this on SoundCloud now. I've gotten some requests to put this on SoundCloud. So that's what I'm going to do, or I did by the time you listen to this. And you can check us out there. iTunes, if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us. If you're listening anywhere else, thank you for listening. And until next time, keep drinking.